The Selinsky trial has kept a wide variety of people on their toes for the past few weeks, including the media, Judge Parentoni, jurors, and Max Benjamin of Kingston. Benjamin has been at the Selinsky trial almost every day since it started back in January. He explains that there is no forensic evidence in this case.
Well, the evidence is circumstantial. The defense with Mr. Reimza and Mr. Brown have done a very, very good job considering what the heck they have to work with. But have they pointed out there's no fingerprints, there's no DNA, and there's no witnesses? But again, you look at the evidence, the circumstantial evidence that was provided by the prosecution, I think they've done an excellent job.
Benjamin discusses the credibility of the witnesses.
Primarily, I feel that with the evidence that has been presented by the Commonwealth, I think the three attorneys there have done just an absolutely marvelous job of building a great foundation, providing jurors the ability to kind of tie everything together with many of the different witnesses. But at the same time, you have to, or at least I kind of realize that many of these witnesses, you have to look at their credibility and find out just exactly how honest you think they were on the witness stand. You know, many of the witnesses are alcoholics, druggies. They have criminal records.
Benjamin explains how Paul Weekly's sentence can be reduced.
Paul Weekly, obviously the key witness in the whole case, one has to decide, well, how credible is he? Was he offered some type of deal by the district attorney's office? There's a provision that he signed, it's number 35 in the papers that he signed with the DA, and it states that depending upon his testimony and if Hugo is charged as guilty, there's a possibility his sentence may be reduced.
Benjamin discusses how some judges control the courtroom.
I've been here since day one, with the exception of my reporting to jury duty and the 2 days in with Judge Gartley's trial. I've attended a couple of other trials, one in particular with Judge Peter Poloshevsky, and I noticed certain judges have a certain way of controlling the courtroom, in controlling the attorneys. And a number of us, not just me, have raised the question, why do they have all these sidebars? Do you know that on a Wednesday, I think it was not this past Wednesday, but the previous Wednesday, I was taking notes and I jotted down every time the defense and the prosecution, along with Judge Parentoni, had a sidebar. And there were 12 sidebars during that day.
Lead I-Team reporter for Eyewitness News, Andy Mahalshik, explains how well known the Selinsky case is.
The Selinsky case, again, gained nationwide attention when he escaped prison, when he gets out of the Luzerne County prison back in 2003, and has not lost its momentum. Despite cases like, say, Jerry Sandusky or the Eric Freen case, and they're all horrible in their own way, this case still has something about it that captures people's attention.
Reporting may have changed within the past 25 years, but Mahalshik emphasizes the importance that you still need someone to cover the story.
We had bag phones, pay phones we had to use. The big difference now is the social media aspect. I'm putting stuff on Twitter, Facebook, my own home webpage. So getting it out there almost instantaneously, it's in real time. That's the difference. But the similarities are you still have to cover the story. You have to get the facts straight. They may be getting more facts out there faster, but you're still covering the basic story of who, where, when, why, what happened, that kind of thing. So it's different with the technology, but you're still doing the basics in journalism, getting it right.
For WRKC News at 5, I'm Program Director Aaron Harvey.